Welcome to the conference. Please note, today's call is being recorded. Please stand by.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Neurology Endorsement Maintenance Phase 2 pre-voting webinar. I'm Suzanne Chaberge. I'm the project manager for this project here at NQF, and I'm here with my colleagues,
Karen Johnson
and Jessica Weber.
And if everybody who's on the line could introduce themselves so we know who's with us today, that would be great.
This is Lauren McCown from America's Health Insurance Plans.
Welcome.
Hi, this and this is Julie Gray. Cole from Pharmacy Quality Alliance.
Great.
Hi, and Deirdre Gray from AMAPCPI.
Okay. Anyone else?
Stephanie Singleton from WellPoint, please.
Okay. And did anybody who's on the line have any particular questions that you wanted to address, or were you just wanted to hear the project overview? All right. It doesn't sound like anybody had any immediate questions, so we'll just dive right in. But please do stop us as we go if you have questions. As you probably know by now, the goals of this webinar are just to go over the project, introduce you to what happened, give some information and background, and then answer any questions that people might have. As you also may know, this was a two-phase project. In phase one, we looked at stroke measures, and those measures have completed the endorsement process. In this phase, phase two, we looked at measures on dementia, Parkinson's disease, and epilepsy, as well as a measure on stenosis measurement and carotid imaging. We reviewed 21 new measures and one maintenance measure in this project. Of the measures that we reviewed, there were five that were recommended. One was a continuation of endorsement, and then there were four new measures. The maintenance measure was stenosis measurement and carotid imaging, and the new measures were persistent indicators of dementia without a diagnosis for long-stay patients, and then persistent indicators of dementia without a diagnosis for short-stay patients, which are both from AMDA. An AAN measure, counseling for women with childbearing potential with epilepsy, and the other measure was from PQA, antipsychotic use in persons with dementia. As you are aware, we are now in the member voting period. The 30-day member and public comment period closed on November 29th. It opened October 31st. We received comments from 10 member organizations and 20 members of the public. Those were all addressed by the steering committee and the developers. All the comments, as well as responses from the committee, the developers, and the NQF staff, are posted online on the project page, so you can review that before voting. The 15-day voting period opened yesterday, and it closes Monday, January 28th at 6 p.m. The five recommended measures are open for voting. In addition, the redlined comment report is available on the project page. And I'm now going to turn this over to Karen to go into our process issues.
Okay, thank you, Suzanne. The process issues that we had during this project really is just that one of the measures, the epilepsy measure for childbearing potential, don't have the name exactly right there, sorry about that. That one is, it came in as an untested measure. So it is eligible for time-limited endorsement, and by that, the developer has promised to do testing for reliability and validity within 12 months for that measure. The overarching issues that we faced during this project really all kind of mostly went down to the evidence criteria. Really, for a lot of the measures, the measure focus was not proximal to desired outcomes. And for that, a lot of the measures looked at things like assessment or counseling or review or documentation, those sorts of things. And generally, those kind of measures have a hard time meeting our evidence criteria because there's often not a lot of evidence out there to support those kind of measures. I think it is important to note that committee members often acknowledge that those activities that were part of the measure focus for these measures, they are very important for clinical practice, and they also acknowledge that oftentimes performance on these types of measures may be less than optimal, but still may not meet our evidence criteria. Very much related to that is this insufficient evidence. So as you probably know, we have criteria related to knowing about the quantity, quality, and consistency of the body of evidence for measures. And for many of the measures, either the evidence either just did not exist or was not submitted. And it's kind of a variety of those reasons. And really what happened, particularly again with the assessment counseling measures, developers were just unable to show a literature that basically made the link between the measure focus and desired outcomes. And even when evidence was given, often it had to do with the impact of the measure or sometimes other interventions that had been shown to be useful, but they didn't actually address the measure focus. So, and then also several of the measures relied on clinical practice guidelines, but the guidelines sometimes didn't give enough information to really understand the evidence underneath the measures or underneath the guidelines. So, and then finally, untested measures. Of the 22 measures that were reviewed in the project, 18 had not been reviewed for reliability or validity. But we can look at those types of measures and think about possible time-limited endorsement for them. So as Suzanne already mentioned, one of the measures that was recommended was one of these untested measures, and it is up for time-limited endorsement. We did have a lot of comments that came through in our public comment period, and basically the themes or the major topics had to do with reconsideration of the American Academy of Neurology and the AMA-PCPI measures. Those were measures on epilepsy, Parkinson's disease, and dementia, and I believe 8 of those, the AAN, requested specifically reconsideration of 8 of those measures. In addition, other commenters asked for a reconsideration of measure 2111, the antipsychotic use in persons with dementia. There were also some comments mainly supportive on the stenosis measurement measure. And there was also very interestingly, I think, support from quite a few folks on the other recommended measures, and that is the long stay. Let's see, I don't have the name of it in front of me here. The persistent indicators of dementia without a diagnosis, short and long stay, and also the counseling for women with childbearing potential with epilepsy. So again, in our comment period, we did have a lot of support for those measures.
Hi, this is Lauren McCown. I have a quick question regarding the slide.
Sure.
And what is the, when you decide to reconsider a measure like, you know, 2111, what's this typically the process or what has to happen in order for you to reconsider a measure that's previously not recommended?
Well, basically what happens is we bring the steering committee together after the comment period, and we ask them to look at all the comments that came in. So, like I said, in this case, we had several comments asking for reconsideration, and along with some of those comments, some folks did make some pointed comments that reflected back to the things that the committee had questions on. But then also the developer as well brought in some additional analyses. So that was probably the most important, but, you know, reconsideration can happen even without developers bringing in more analyses. But in this case, the commenters and as well as the analyses from the developers were brought in, and the committee looked at those. And basically, we leave it up to the committee. So they look at those comments and you know, what came in the door, and decide if they think that there's enough enough information there to make them want to reconsider. So in this case, they did, and on reconsideration, they felt that their concerns, which had to do in this case with validity of the measure, they felt that those were addressed. Does that help?
Yes, that does. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions before we go on? Oh, well, we're almost done. As Suzanne mentioned, our voting period is open. It opened yesterday, and it is a 15-day, I believe, voting period, and closes on January 28th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And we have electronic submissions of voting. So if you have any questions or concerns about any of that, you know, you can always email us, and we can help you out if you need it. And our last slide is just a big question mark slide. So is there anything that I can answer for you?
Hi, this is Deirdre Gray at the AMA-PCPI.
Hi, Deirdre.
Hi. I just wanted to I'm not sure if you're aware that the comment table for phase two neurology,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have the responses in it in the Excel file that's online.
Oh, really?
Are you looking at the one that's under the comment period or the one that's under the voting period?
I think I'm under the comment period.
There's an updated one under the voting period. I'll have the web team remove the one that's under the comment period to reduce confusion. But, yeah, there should be. Hopefully the right one got posted. If not, I'll go check as soon as I get back to my desk. But the updated one should be under the voting.
Okay. You know, I see it. You're right.
Okay,
thank you.
Great.
And just so you know, we try to get those comments up as soon as we can so that people can see the comments. But then, like you say, we do try to answer them or respond to them. Any other questions? Well, I guess I'll hand it back to Suzanne and...
All right. Well, if you have any questions after you've reviewed the materials, please don't hesitate to email or call us, and we'd be happy to answer those. And in the meantime, please vote. So if nobody has any further questions, then we'll adjourn the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for the overview.
Thank you for participating.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.